I arrived home to a wonderful surprise. My mother and father intercepted me before I could head down to my room, and with grins on their faces, they led me through into the lounge. And there in our lounge was a brand new colour TV. So up until then, now I know this may not really impress people today with flat screen TVs and you can watch colour programs on your smart devices, but in those days, this was very, very special, because up until then, we had been watching TV programs in black and white. In fact, I was really used to seeing TV programs in black and white, and I thought nothing of it that they were in black and white. But then, when Mum and Dad switched on the TV, up came these programs that we had been watching before, but now they were in vivid colours. And the program that came on, I can't quite remember, it was a Western, and it could have been the Virginian, and it might have been Bonanza, but it were these cowboys, and they were wearing all this colourful, all these colourful clothes. We never knew they were colourful up until then. And this was quite a big shift from watching in black and white to suddenly being able to see all these things in colour, and the vivid blues that these cowboys were wearing. I can remember to this day being impressed by them. So just suppose for a moment that life was in black and white. We wouldn't know what we were missing in terms of colour, because all we would see was black and white. And then imagine the change that comes suddenly seeing everything in colour. So I don't think anyone here would have been around to be able to see the original, but maybe, I don't know. But many of us will have seen The Wizard of Oz. Has anyone seen The Wizard of Oz? So you will know, this was made back, I think, in the late 1930s, when most movies were made in black and white, and people going to the theatre would normally see the movies they watched in black and white. And you would know that when things start off in this, in Kansas, where it's all sort of poor and dusty, it's in these shades of grey and black and white, everything, all this sort of poverty and struggle represented there. But then when the tornado comes and the key figure Dorothy is taken to the land of Oz, when she wakes up, suddenly everything is in vivid colour. And it marks the difference between the starkness of Kansas and this sort of magical place, the land of Oz. Now I want to suggest to you that finding the joy of the Lord is like a switch being turned from a black and white life to a life of vivid colour. The joy that God brings into our lives transforms us and changes us. I want to ask, I'm not asking you to answer these questions, but just to think about them. Where do you find joy? When was the last time you felt really joyful? What is the source of your joy? Now, one of the wonderful things that we find as we read in the scriptures is that we have been created to be able to find enjoyment in our lives. So we can see a vast range of colour and take delight in that. And it might be in going to the movies, or it might be standing in front of a wonderful painting and we see the richness of the colour. We have a wonderful sense of taste so that we can pick up all sorts of flavours. We can touch and feel textures. We can hear sounds. God has created us in such a way that we can enjoy so much of the things that are around us. And I wonder if you were thinking about perhaps two or three times in your life that have been really the most joyful times, what you might say. And suppose we gathered up a list. Everyone write three things that they found joy in. I think we would find rising towards the top of that list maybe something like holding a newborn baby. Maybe holding your niece or nephew, your grandchild, your own child for the first time, and the joy that you feel when that happens. Or maybe for some, it would be a wedding day, and the joy of family coming together, and you gather there, and there's the happy couple, and you're all feeling joy for them, desiring for them to have a really wonderful life. And those sorts of things become very special to us, and we find enjoyment in them. God wants us to know joy and to experience joy in our lives. But those worldly joys, the things that sort of come to us from the world, are not the greatest joy that God has for us. They're certainly wonderful and they fill our lives, but they're not the greatest joy. The greatest joy that God has for us is to be able to know and enjoy Him. One of the things that I think is a little bit strange, back in 1646, when the Puritans and Presbyterians were ruling in the UK and were in Westminster, they decided to sit down and to write about the purpose of life. They said, you know, why are we here? You might have thought that was a very modern question, but they were thinking about it back then also. And the thing that they said, what is the chief thing, the chief purpose for humanity? And they said two things. One was to glorify God. And the other was to enjoy Him forever. And the thing that sort of mucks around in my mind a little bit with this is, why did the Puritans say enjoy? I mean, I don't sort of think, when I have heard of stories of Puritans, that they were particularly joyful people. They seem to be sort of quite narrow and legalistic. And yet you have these leading Puritans sitting together. Let's figure out what life is all about. What shall we say? Glorifying God, and what else? Enjoying God. And I think this is absolutely marvelous that they would think of that. And they were right. Oh, someone's done that for me. Thank you. That they would think that this is what God has created us for, to be able to know Him. I think the Puritans were able to understand something of the wonderful love of God. And as they thought about God's love, and as it filled their hearts, as they reflected on God's grace and God's goodness, they understood that from that comes joy. In terms of what they were thinking about with God's love, the Apostle Paul says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together, not alone, but together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And when you enter into that and begin to explore it, as I'm sure the Puritans were doing at that time, joy becomes one of those things that becomes very real in our lives. This idea is transformational. God, at the core of human purpose and meaning in life, wants us to find enjoyment. Now, there are other things He wants us to find as well. But today we're thinking of joy. And this is really in there. Now, I've said this before, and I don't want to go into this in too much detail, but I think happiness is a bit more like a surface emotion. As I was talking with the children, it's like the bubbles that sort of float around for a while and then pop. Or it's like the waves of the ocean that get whipped up by the winds, and they're up and they're down, or they're up or they're down, or maybe they're just sort of calm. And I tend to think of joy more as a deep emotion, a deep attribute given to us by God. like the currents in the ocean, the deep currents like rivers that flow around bringing nutrients all around the seas. And in a sense, when we discover God's joy and it's deep within us, it nurtures our lives, our souls, our all, and it bubbles up. And some of that expression can be in happiness. I'm not against happiness in any sense at all. I just don't think that it fully expresses what God wants us to have. And I think a number of people are searching for happiness and they're missing out on it because they're not pursuing joy. And joy would be the thing that would help them to have a deeper happiness. Now, as we look at the Old Testament, we find some things there about joy. In the Old Testament and in the psalm that we read, it spoke about God doing great things for us, and so we are filled with joy. As God does great things in your life, you will find yourself filled with joy. The things that God does will touch you in special ways, encourage you, strengthen you, and help you. And you will find that joy from God. And then there are other people in the Bible as well, one of them being Nehemiah. So Ezra had come, rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem, but the wall of Jerusalem was still broken. Nehemiah came, and struggling, they built the wall. And then Nehemiah said to Ezra the priest, "What I think you should do now is get out the scriptures and read them to the people." And they brought together the chiefs of the tribes and the heads of the households, and they began to read the scriptures to them. And when the scriptures were read to them, they began to weep. They hadn't heard this in so long. It moved them so deeply. They felt a sense of grief. But Nehemiah said to them, "This is a sacred day. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And people were to find their strength in the joy that God would give to them. So we find this in the Old Testament. We also find it in the New Testament. And we see the angel that came at Jesus' birth proclaiming to the shepherds in the fields, "I have got some good news for you." And this good news is news of great joy. And it's not just for you, it's for all. And so the angel was saying to the shepherds, this baby has been born, and this is really good news. This is where joy will come from. And then at the end of his life, when speaking to his disciples, Jesus had them gathered round. He said a number of things to them, but one of the things that he said to them was, "I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." And if we are to have complete joy, that will only happen when Christ is there to bring it into our lives, to bring his joy, to make our joy complete. So at his birth and at his death, Jesus coming among us was about bringing joy. And then, of course, we have the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, sorry. These wonderful gifts that come from God that grow in our lives. And one of them being joy, because the Holy Spirit also wants to bring us joy. And so we find as we look at these things in the scripture, God our Father wants us to have joy. Jesus came so we might have joy. The Holy Spirit was sent to us so that joy could grow in our lives. This is part of God's plan for us, that we should find enjoyment in our lives and in our living, and that this would be an enjoyment that would last with him forever. When I worked in Bluff, I worked there for about 5 years, our chief engineer. I learned so much from him. He was a really good guy. Occasionally he would bring apples into our work. And discussing this with him, what I found out he had done, he had this really good apple tree. And what he did was he grafted into that apple tree several other varieties of apple, so that this apple tree, I think when I knew him, was producing 5 different types of apple. And there's a sense in the Bible where we are told that we are grafted into Christ, the good, strong root stock, the vine that is growing, and we are grafted into him. And as we are grafted into him, and his strength begins to flow through us, so do the things of Christ that change us with the Holy Spirit, so that we begin to understand and to have in our lives these things of love and joy and peace, such good fruit. Well, what difference does this make to us? I want to invite you today to find a little bit of time somewhere, a little bit of peace somewhere, and just sort of play around in your mind with this idea of joy. If one of the important things in life which God wants us to have is joy, what does that say about God? That God wants us to have joy in our lives. And if Jesus came to give joy to his disciples, and the Holy Spirit causes joy to grow in our lives, what does that say about the purpose of our lives and the way we are to live and what God desires from us? You see, when you start to consider what joy is like, that God wants us to have it, it starts to mess around with your preconceptions of what God is like. And some of the other things that people may have said to you, or perhaps at one stage you thought God was like this, if you start thinking about joy and God wanting you to have it and God bringing it to you as a gift, it will mess around with your thinking. And I want to end this message with one of my favorite verses and to ask you to try and imagine what this might look like in your life. The Lord your God is with you. Can you own that? God is with you. And he is mighty to save. And he will take great delight in you. Isn't this wonderful? This thought that God would take great delight in us as we go through this day today, the things that we do and say, God is looking to our lives to take delight in what it is we are doing as we walk with him. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. And as you take that quiet moment today to think about joy, try and imagine that God is rejoicing over you with a song. God's voice, God's song, God's melody, rejoicing over you. Amen. I want to invite those who are helping at the table today to come forward, and we will partake in the communion.